today I have a song. It's song number 14 in our blue books. And I'm just going to do one verse. But as always, I desire your prayers, like Brother Taps was saying this morning. I don't want to do anything without the Lord. I'm really getting a hold of that. We can't do anything without the Lord anyway, but we don't think about it like that. But God is a good God, and he allows us to do things. And so not just preaching and teaching and living my everyday life, but I don't even want to do anything without him. I need the Lord to bless and to help me. So I desire your prayers. We're going to look at Blessed Lord, Give Me Strength. All right. Or Blessed Lord, I believe, is the title of the song. If you have any comments to add or thoughts or questions or anything, it's in order to do in this type of a lesson slash discussion. All right. So the first portion of the song reads, in the Bible, it speaks of a beautiful word. I thought about that word. The word that it's talking about is the word love. And God has been talking to me about the word love. And I wasn't thinking about Valentine's Day or anything like that. It's just that he's been talking to me about love. Love is kind of it's a powerful thing. There's power in it. And God, it's what God uses to touch the hearts and the lives of people to woo them to him so that he can protect them and watch over. And the Bible talks about, in the Bible, it talks about him being our heavenly Father. And so love is what he uses. It's the ingredient to help us with our needs. If you go to 1 John 4:7-8, if you get that for me, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But the verse says, in the Bible, it speaks of a beautiful word. And the word that we're talking about today is love. And we're talking specifically about God's love. All right. Not my love, but his love in me. And there is a difference, because my love runs out, his love doesn't. My love gets to a place where I don't want to do, or I don't feel like doing, but his love enables me to keep doing. All right, and so that's what God does for us. Do we have, is it 1 John 4:7-8? Somebody have that for us?
Beloved, mm-hmm. Let us love one another.
Yes.
For love is of God, and
yes.
Everyone that loveth is born of God,
yes.
And knoweth God.
Yes.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
All right, so it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. All right, so when we're talking about the word love, we can't use that term lightly anymore. All right. If we say that we love somebody, then according to the Bible, it's talking about something deeper than I like you, you my friend, I get along with you. But it's talking about something that is in depth. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. So in order to have love, the love that God is requiring of us to have, is we have to be saved. We have to be a child of God, because we can't even understand love. Is that what you had? We can't even understand love. People say, when I was young, I'd tell somebody I loved them, or they would tell me that they loved me, but it was only to get something from them, or to get something from me. But this is not the love that we're talking about. We're talking about the love of God. So in the Bible, it speaks of a beautiful word. It is love. It is love that brought us out of the world. So 1 John 4:7-8 says, and the eighth verse said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. All right, and I thought about the difference between God and the enemy. One of the main differences between God and the enemy is God's power and God, what he uses is love. And then what the enemy uses is the opposite of that, which is hate. So love, it lifts up, it encourages, it looks for needs and addresses needs. And then the opposite of that, hate, it abuses, it causes harm, it doesn't care about people or about things. And so when we're talking about the love of God in our hearts and being the child of God like he wants us to be, it's not only God's love to us, but it's our love to him that is of such importance, all right? So when we're talking about the love of God, it's about him in us to the point where the people that don't like us and the people that we don't particularly get along with, we love them too. We love everybody, especially when they treat us well, but we're not very good at love when they don't treat us well. All right, and so God's love in us enables us to do that, all right? All right, it's not a word that we can use lightly. It comes from God. God is defined as love. All right, it has power. It gives us strength. It's more than a feeling. It is love. All right, so it says, it is love that brought us out of the world. So God has power to deliver. Go to John 3 and 16, and then verse number, and then 17, and we're going to read that really quickly. Does anybody know that by heart? John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So when it's talking about this song, it says in the Bible, it speaks of a beautiful word. It is love that brought us out of the world. God's love is what powers our salvation. It is what it is the purpose that Jesus Christ came here, and Jesus Christ used it to deliver those that were bound in sin. All right, so when we are in the world and we are not living according to God's standard, what happens is not only are we sinning, but we are involved with the one that is the author of sin. All right, he is behind hate. He is behind harm. And so what ends up happening is not only do we commit the act, but it becomes a part of who we are. And so what needs to happen is we need the love of God to reach down onto you and to me and to deliver us from the bondage of sin. And it's God's love that does that. If God didn't care about us, then he wouldn't have sent his son. So love is what causes you to care about somebody. Not only does it cause you to care about somebody, but it causes you to care about those that are in terrible and awful conditions. Sometimes when we see the homeless person, sometimes when we see somebody that has done away with the blessings that God has given them, and they are vile and rank and wicked people, what ends up happening with us is that it repulses us. And we don't like to look at that. We don't want to be involved with that. Sometimes we're even afraid of that. But God's love is not repulsed. It's not afraid. He reached way down into the pit of sin, into the depths of hell, to save you and to save me, those of us that are saved. He not only saved us from what we were doing, but he saved us for what we was going to do. Do you understand that? This is deep, because it's not normal for us. It's not easy for us to deal with something that is despicable or vile or unclean. But this song is talking about the love of God and how it is unafraid to touch the hearts and the lives of you and me. It's talking about Jesus Christ coming down from heaven. That in itself was love. I wouldn't want to make the trip, I'll be honest with you. It had been too far, and there's not too many people there that I want to be around. But God is truly is love, in that he sent his son down, and that love is what delivers us, all right? God sent his son to deliver us from the bondage of sin, from bondage of love of the world, from the bondage of self, and all of the things that would hinder us from being what God would have us to be. He loves us so much as our Father that He doesn't want to see us suffer. He doesn't want to see us suffer here, and He doesn't want to see us be lost and go to a devil's hell. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. It's important to know that God didn't come, Jesus didn't come to condemn, He came to save. And so sometimes we get that confused in our hearts and in our minds, and we look at God in the wrong way. God is a Savior. And so what He does is His love extends mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy with the intent to save and to keep. All right, but sometimes the way we live, we get that confused and we get ourselves into trouble because we know we have done something wrong, and we know that it's not right with God, but because we're looking at God like our old master, see the old master, you make a mistake, he's right on your head. He's going to jump on you. He's going to talk bad about you. He's going to accuse you. He's going to tell you all these negative things until you become depressed and discouraged and give up, and then he really can beat you up. But God is not like that. God operates on love. So it's a whole different concept. And so I see young Christians many times, they struggle with this because you have what's called abuse syndrome. You've been abused by the enemy so much that even though you've been freed from sin, even though you've been forgiven, you're still living like you're no longer free, and that you're going to be damaged. Go ahead, Sister Shannon.
I was thinking as you were talking about, yes, Adam and Eve.
Yes.
They sinned.
Yes.
They hid themselves.
Yes.
They hid.
Yes.
And see, the enemy had caused them,
yes,
to sin.
Yes.
But God is love.
Yes.
God is love.
Amen. I appreciate you bringing that out, because that's what we do many times. I'm trying to bring this out the best way I can, but I'm not doing a very good job. The point is this. God loves us, right? And this is what this song was about. And beyond that, even when we fail, He still loves us. The reason you know that He loves us, because He still talks to you. He still is tender to hear your cry. He still cares about us. And so what will happen is when we do wrong, like Sister Sharon was saying, we have the tendency to go and run and hide because we think something is bad is going to happen. No, God is coming to restore. He's coming to lift up. He's coming to encourage us. Yes, we have to repent. Yes, there may be consequences that go along with it. But like the brother talked about this morning, if we count the cost, it's still going to be worth it to go through what we have to go through to maintain our relationship with God. All right. And so I want you to be encouraged that God operates in love. His intention is for good to come out of our lives, not only here, but in the life to come. Somebody go to 1 John 2 and 15 and read through 17, please. 1 John 2, 15 through 17.
Love not the world.
Yes.
Neither the things that are in the world.
All right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
All right.
For all that is in the world,
all right,
lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father.
Okay.
But is of the world.
All right.
And the world passeth away.
Yes.
And the lust thereof.
Yes.
But he that doeth the will of God
abideth. All right, so what's happening here is what we're talking about when we're talking about love. The Bible talks about us being able to, God loving us, and then we reciprocating that. Sometimes we struggle in our relationship with God because we are conflicted in our love. We understand that God loves us, but we also want to hold on to the world, right? But what does the scripture say about the person that loves the world? The love of the Father is not in him, right? And so it keeps us, sometimes we as Christians will say, well, I don't, the love that maybe this person over here is experiencing, the relationship that they have, that they're experiencing, it seems like it's better than mine. We have to look inward and see, is there something that is tearing away at or dividing my love for God? If I have a love for the world, then God's love can't get in because the love for the world is in the way. You see what I'm saying? And so the song says, in the Bible, it speaks of a beautiful word. It is love that brought us out of the world. So it brings, it saves us, it brings us out of the world, it gives us power over ourselves. It is Jesus that taught it. I want us to focus in on that for a moment. Love is taught behavior, right? All right? You can take up two people that are children and you put them in a house with love and they'll become lovers. You put the other one in house with something else other than love and they'll become that way. God, so love is something that is learned. And so just because I have love, everybody has some level of love. But just because I have it doesn't mean I know how to express it in a way that would be pleasing unto God. Right? And so when and I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. My mother was the one that was a beacon of love in my life. But I also experienced a lot of not love. We'll just put it that way. And so it came to a point in my life where I decided that this love thing was just, it's basically weakness. It's weakness because if you love somebody and then they take that love and they mistreat you and do you wrong, a lot of times it causes you to put a wall up. You don't want to love no more. So that your love, it can't get out, and their love, it can't get in. And so when I got married, when I had children and things of that nature, one of the prayers that I had to pray, and I still pray it to this day, Lord, teach me how to love. Because it's not only I have love, but I have to know how to love in order for it to have its proper effect, right? So Jesus actually taught us how to do that. He gives us instructions on how to do that. Another thing about love that's taught, my love for my wife is different from my love for my children. So some of the things that I may do towards my wife, I can't do that towards my children. There's different. So God has to teach us how to do that. And what better teacher than God himself, who is love, can teach us how to love. All right? And so God, what he does is he has mercy upon us, and he teaches us how to love. And I want to encourage us this as well. If you're having struggles with God's love reaching you and then your love reaching out unto others, I want to encourage you that it's a taught thing. It's something that you have to learn. Matthew 11 and 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. One of the things we learn, since he is love, what do you think that we're going to have to learn how to love like he loves, since that's what he is? Right, so that's a key thing to do. I was talking about, I believe, in the message a few weeks back, the Love On message, and I was talking about the do's and the don'ts, the rules and the regulations, versus getting the heart experience, getting a relationship with God, and letting him teach us how to do. And so this is the same thing. It's Jesus that taught it. All right, Ephesians 5 and 25, somebody get that. And then somebody else get Colossians 3 and 19. All right, I want us to just understand that love is taught and that we are not to give up on those things. If we're not any good at it, God will teach us how to get better. It's something that we have to seek the Lord for. We may have to give up something for it, like the world or ourselves or whatever it might be, but it'll be worth it because then we'll have his love in us, powering us and enable us to do well. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm still working on this scripture, right? I love my wife, but that's not where the scripture stops. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So Christ didn't have a wife, but he did have a church. And he loved that church and gave himself for it. And so can I say that I'm there yet? I'm aspiring to that. I'm doing all that I can to get there by the help of the Lord. But you see, I don't care what level of love you have, you're going to have to learn to love at a greater and a deeper level. is that okay? All right. I thank you for that, brother. So Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, another scripture I want us to get, because some people say that it doesn't say for wives to love their husbands. I want somebody to get Titus 2, read, let me see. Do I have this right? I think it's Titus 2, 4, and 5. Does anybody have Colossians 3 and 19?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Love your wife.
Yes.
Be not bitter for her.
Yes. Amen. So, again, we were talking about God teaching us how to do things. God is concerned about the husband. He's concerned about the wife. He's concerned about the children. He's concerned about all of us. And so, therefore, he gives us instructions on how to do it. And then he puts, if we'll allow him, he'll come in us and help us to do those things that he's wanting us to do. It says, love them and don't be bitter against them. In other words, if you become offended by someone, by your wife or by your husband, don't let that be the end of it. Don't let that be the end of it. If that was the case, since we offended God, because all have sinned, and sin is offensive to God, right? So since we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then what that means is then God's love would stop there, right? No, God's love ain't like that, is it? He loves us anyway. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? So even, and this always amazed me, and this is why I said it. You probably think I'm a broken record for saying this, but some of the people that crucified Jesus, they went to heaven. I believe that. Because God's love, it reached out unto them. He died for them, and they recognized his love, and they humbled themselves, and they were saved. Just like when they stoned Peter. Remember they stoned Stephen, and folks were saved because of that? When God's love is shown, people are going to be affected by it, all right? And so he's teaching us how to love. What is Titus? Is it 2, 4, and 5? Do I have that right? It's talking about the older women.
They teach yes. young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children.
Booyah.
Discreet, chaste.
Yes.
Keepers at home.
Yes.
Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Amen. So that does away with the whole you don't have to love your husband business. A lot, I'm serious, some people are under that understanding. They say, well, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. Well, in this scripture, we see that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. See? And we would know that anyway, because what does the Bible say? Love who? Who does it all say we love? Love who? Love your enemies? Love your neighbor. Love who? Everybody. So your husband, he gonna be somewhere in there, right? And so I want to encourage us that if you have a husband that may be difficult to love, God can teach you how to do that. God can bless you how to do that. This may not be for you. This may be for somebody that doesn't know. But whoever needs to know, then I want to let you know that this is what the Word of God is saying, and this is what the song is trying to teach us. It says, it is Jesus that taught us. Yes, he lived long before us. I want to stop here at the living of the love. Matthew 9 and 36. Somebody read that for us. Somebody else get Matthew 20 and 34. And then the next one is Mark 1 and 41. I'm almost finished here. I appreciate your time and your attention. 9 and 36, Matthew 9 and 36. Anybody have that one?
But when he saw multitudes,
yes.
He was moved with compassion.
Yes.
Because they fainted and were scattered abroad. No
shepherd. Amen. So he lived love before us. When we live love, then what it causes for us to do, the key phrase that I want you to look into these passages of scripture is the compassion. What we're going to be touching on is compassion. Compassion means that I care about you.
Yes.
Period. I care about each and every one of God's children. All right. And so when Jesus looked at the situation, he saw that there was a need there and he had compassion upon them. All right. And so it's impossible for me to experience God's love and not be changed, all right? And so when I experience God's love, like the song is talking about, it's gonna give me a greater level of care and concern for others, right? Because it doesn't matter if I got it all together in terms of on the outside. God looks upon the heart, right? And so my heart, when God had mercy upon me, when he kept on loving me and saved me anyway, despite all of the wrong I done, all of the counsel and the teaching and the preaching that I walked over, he loved me anyway. My heart was in bad condition. And so what Jesus does and what he teaches us to do in terms of living love is looking beyond what you see on the outside, right? It may even be behaviors. I come across a lot of people that I work with. I work with a mental health unit with the Dallas Police Department. And we go out and we run on people that are having possible mental health crisis. And many times, if you look at them, if you don't get past what you see on the outside, you won't be able to help them. You won't have the compassion or the care or concern that God is calling for you and I to have. And so what God has taught us by that is look beyond that. I'm talking about not just what they look, I'm talking about behaviors, the things that they say, the things that they do, right? When the woman came to Jesus, when the woman was at the well, what did he do? He looked on her with love and pity and compassion, didn't he? He said, go and sit. Go ahead, brother, talk to me.
Yeah, Brother Henry, this is so good, so important, so necessary. But when you said, he looks, we sang our song that he looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Yes.
He looked beyond my faults.
Yes.
He had faults.
Yes.
He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's what this love is talking about. When we're talking about love, I want us to be thinking in terms of God's love. I want us to be thinking in terms of where we are along the spectrum of love. Are we able to receive love freely? Are we able to give love freely like Jesus Christ did? Do we have care and concern and compassion for those that are not easy to deal with? They have undesirable maybe looks or actions or ways about them. They say the wrong things. A child of God, if anybody else on this earth is able to deal with somebody, look beyond the fault and see the need and get the blessing to them, it should be a child of God. Am I right about that? And so God is wanting to encourage us to do these types of things. Look beyond the fault, see the need, be the blessing. All right, Matthew 20 and 34, what does it say? Does it say something about compassion again?
Matthew 20, 34.
Yes.
So Jesus had compassion on them,
yes,
and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
Amen. Another situation where, and so this is teaching us where we should be as children of God. Now, understand this. We are human. We don't have the ability to fix all problems. We can't be everywhere at all times, all the time. But what God does is he allows situation and circumstance and happenstance to come our way. And our job is, Lord, what can I do about this? What would you have me do? How can I can't say that I prayed for somebody that was blind and they were healed. But I know that God can do that. And if that happens and I come to that situation and he gives me the understanding that I need to pray for them, I'm going to do it by the grace and help of God. Because that's my job. I'm a paramedic. That's what we are. All Christians are paramedics. That's what they are. You deal with people in the worst of situations at the worst time, and you administer the first aid of love to them, if nothing else. That's what we do. And God is, and then when you've done that, then you take them to the great physician, the one that can really heal them. right? But what we don't do is say, I'm not going to help this person. I'm not going to extend my love to them. I'm not going to show the care and concern and compassion that I need to, because I truly believe this, and I may be wrong here, but I truly believe this. I believe a key component of healing is actual love. Like, what I mean by that is, without anything else, love does something for the person. I believe it. Because when somebody, we talked about somebody, Brother Woody gave a great lesson once again this morning, and he was talking about the brother when he felt all alone. When somebody is in a position where they're suffering and they feel all alone, and there was a story about a young lady who was going to kill herself, and somebody, a Christian, came by, gave her the number, and she called the number, and she didn't do it. The love itself had something to do with the healing process. And so what I'm saying is this morning is that living love like Jesus, like the song is talking about, it enables us to, when we see a situation, if we can't do anything about other than show the love of God to them, we've already started the healing process. Go ahead, sister. Yes. Yes. Amen. I believe that. I believe because you can. There's a thing called, in medical terms, it's called failure to thrive.
Yeah.
And people that are failure, you know about it. And people that are failure to thrive, what usually people that are like that is they've got a tough situation and nobody comes and sees them. Nobody calls them. Nobody wants to hear from them. And so they lose hope. And so what we do is, as Christian paramedics, if you'll let me use that term, we go and we restore the hope. We go and we restore the love. We let them know that somebody out here cares about you. Somebody out here loves you. So we're living the love. We're not just talking about it, but we're actually, we're doing it by the help of the Lord. God's love is so precious to me. I could tell you about so many things that God has had mercy upon me with and for. I talk about it from time to time, not to, I'm not trying to highlight my failures, and I'm not trying to encourage people to fail, but I found that, just like the song is talking about, God's love is so precious to me, I found that He extends love and mercy and care and compassion not only before a person is saved, but especially after they're saved, right? Because there's so much unlearning we have to do. There's so much learning we have to do, and it's a huge learning curve for anybody, because we just don't come like that. And so God, He allows us. We fail sometimes, and He says, I still love you. I'm here to help you. Ask my forgiveness. And then there's a lesson to be learned in this. But what can happen is this is what will hinder the relationship with God. Let's say we have a failure and we act like it didn't happen. That'll hinder the relationship with God, because it's a learning way. The reason why the failure happened was because He wants to show us something about ourselves, and then He wants to help us with ourselves. The other way that we hinder our relationship with God, and we can trust God. I want to say that you can truly trust God. He's not going to throw you away. But the other way that we sometimes get hindered in our relationship with God is the failure occurs and we have a justification for it. Not only did it not happen, but we have an adjust. It's either it didn't happen or I'm justifying The reason why I did what I did, because they did what they did. But that's not how the Bible reads. The Bible is to you and to me personally. It's not to them first, then you. It's to me personally, right? So what God wants to do is he wants to use, just like he uses successes, he wants to use that failure to teach us something. And the forgiveness part, the Bible talks about him being ready to forgive. So he's ready to forgive, right? He's plenteous in mercy. I'm not telling you to waste his mercy, but I'm saying if you do have a failure, the two things you don't want to do is justify or deny. Don't justify and don't deny. Lord, this happened. I'm sorry that it happened. I'm asking you to forgive me. Now, from this, Lord, what can I learn? Help me, Lord, to draw. What is it about me that's not right? What caused this to happen? And then God can teach us, and then we become more like Christ. And so that's what I want to say this afternoon. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your patience. I sometimes I can hardly talk because I'm trying to get it out, but I can't get it out like I want to get it out. So pray for me about that. But God has been talking to me a lot about love, a lot about love and its role in the Christian life and its role in its powers and its redemptive abilities. There's a lot in there. And so I desire your prayers that I get all that he's trying to give me. And not only that, that I will be somebody that that lives in a way that shows that love. I'll give you, and I'm not tooting my horn, but this is what the Lord has done for me. And I'm praising him, and I'm asking him to help me more. Certain areas in your life, I'll speak personally, certain areas in your life you don't leave Christianity behind, but you're not thinking about it as much. I'll just put it that way. You had something, Brother Johnson?
Yes, I certainly appreciate the topic on love.
Yes. Yes.
We've got nothing if we be God.
Yes. Yes, amen.
And I thought about the time when people tried to keep this ship from the coming of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
They thought we made their body here.
Yes.
But Jesus so tolerated us.
Yes.
Beyond the point that we think he's going to tolerate.
That's true.
He's ready to help.
Yes, he
is. And I thought about another person, he's married. If he's married to the backslider,
yes.
If I make a mistake and I haven't backslidden,
yes.
He will consider me if I repent.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I needed that too. Just really quickly, I appreciate that comment about the children coming to Jesus and he not pushing them away. I appreciate that comment about him being married to the backslider because it's all true. It's really, I want you us as a church and those that are hearing this, I want us to begin to look into love more. Love is a big deal. If God is love, then that's what the world needs. Right? He knew what the world needs. Yes, you go ahead.
And I just wanted to say the children's Sunday school lesson has been on love
yes.
Sunday, and I thought about this verse that you read, I think, in 1 John.
Yes.
It says where something about we love him, that we love him because he loved us first
of this,
you know?
Yes.
And I thought about when you mentioned failures.
Yes.
And I know sometimes when I've made mistakes, I can be very hard on myself.
Yes.
And yet the Lord shows compassion to me.
Yes.
And he's yes. merciful. And sometimes I just want to beat myself up.
Yes.
But the Lord is so gentle. And
yes.
That makes me love him more. You know,
yes.
That he doesn't just turn your way or say,
yes.
Well, you should have known better. You
yes.
know? But he's just so loving and so compassionate.
Yes.
This morning as I was doing the lesson, the Lord brought it to my mind about just asking the kids, you know, well, how is your love tank? You know,
yes.
is it full or is
yes.
it almost on E? Well,
yes.
you can go to the Lord and you can ask him to
yes.
fill your heart
yes.
with more love.
Amen.
And this song was on my mind this evening where it says, sinner, see the love of God.
Yes.
And I thought about not just sinners, but we all need to
yes.
continually see the
love of
God.
God. Yes.
It says,
Sinners see the love of God.
Yes.
Sinners see the love of God. Will you come?
Come to Him.
Will you come to Him? Oh, behold the wonderful love of God.
And praise God.
I truly just want to ever keep that. Don't forget about
yes.
that. Keep it fresh
yes.
in your heart and your mind about
yes.
this great love that God has for us.
Oh, thank you. You guys are helping me out a lot. And it's encouraging because I really, saints, I want us to understand that this is really what it's all about. And I want to encourage us to really, I don't know, I say really, that's the only thing I can say, but I'm trying to emphasize it the best way that I can. I want God is about love, and He's about a relationship with us. That's what He's about, right? And so it does you no good to be in a relationship with someone when maybe they're loving you, but you're not loving them back, or you don't trust them, or whatever the case may be. And I'm not even dwelling on that. What I'm saying is, put some time and some study in to love, because it's the foundation of everything. It's why God created the world. It's why God created us. It's why when we went away from Him, He had mercy upon us and sent His Son. It's why He made heaven so that we wouldn't have to be lost. It's why He extends His grace and mercy to us on a daily basis. Even if you don't think He does, He does. If you're walking and talking and breathing in your right mind, that's God's grace and mercy. All of that is love. And what God is telling me is that that's the power, because the enemy's power is hatred. It begets murder. It begets suicide. It begets depression. It begets all of these negative things. And God's love begets the total opposite. And I'm trying to get out what He's telling me. Study love. Study the love of God. I want people to know how God really feels about us. Because if you know how God really feels about you, it's much more difficult when someone would come to harm you. You can fall back on God's love. Maybe you feel that way about me. Maybe you want to harm me or whatever the case may be. But I, not only do I love you anyway, God loves you and God loves me. You know what I mean? And so this is something that we need so much of, because if you think about not only yourself, but you think about those that are around you, those that you are coming in contact with, this is the missing ingredient in their lives. And so when they talk to you about their problems and their situations, it's not only getting to God, but it's getting to God's love. I want us to get a hold of this, because it's something that has been an eye-opener to me. It has taken me, the rules and the regulations are important. The laws and the statutes, they are important. But the love precedes all of that. Love comes first. The relationship comes first. We have rules to a marriage, but without the love, the rules don't apply. We have rules to a father-son or a father-daughter, a mother-son, mother-daughter relationship, but without the love, the rules don't apply. And so if I'm a father that don't love my child, then my child is going to experience not love, but something different than that. So they're going to rebel. You see how that works? If I'm a husband that doesn't love my wife, then my wife is going to experience that, and she's going to have some kind of, and there's going to be problems. But if God's love is the foundation of everything, then when we start applying the rules of the relationship, husbands love your wife, Christ loved the church, gave Himself for the church, fathers love your children and dwell with them righteously, or don't discourage them. I'm not getting the scriptures, but the point is, when the love is there, that's what makes us able to do all of the other things. It's not the other way around. And so when we deal with a soul, we want the soul to see the love of God and come to the love of God, where no matter what they're doing or not doing. And then once they receive the love of God and they gain that relationship, then God empowers them to do the do's and the don'ts, not because they have to, but because they want to. May God help us. I've taken up all your time. Please forgive me for that. Please pray for me. I want to live love. I was going to tell you this last thing. I'm sorry. But this is something that God has done for me, and it's a testimony. When I play basketball, for the most part, I'm competitive. I want to be competitive. I want to compete. I want to win. And God has been dealing with me about that. And so we had went out, Tavis and I went out yesterday. We were playing, and there was someone that we were beating them, and he was getting angry and, you know, making up calls and all this kind of stuff. So we had got to the point where he was trying to argue with me and trying to get me to argue with him. But I prayed, and the Lord has taught me this. Before I play, you pray. And you pray about, most importantly, you're a child of God. The competition, all this other stuff, none of that matters. You want to represent Christ righteously. You want to show the love of God. And so I'm telling you, if Taz was here, he can tell you this happened. He saw it. Davin was there too. And I have to elevate God's love and me representing him properly above even winning. And that's something that I've always had problems with. But this time, the Lord was, and the Lord's been helping me. This time, when it started elevating and escalating, I started wondering, because it's all competition. The game is competition. The argument is competition. It's all competition. And so me not wanting to lose is what would hinder me from showing this man the love of God. And so I said, you know what? The Lord talked to me right in the middle of that. He said, you need to be quiet, and you need to stop playing. We had 1 point to go, and they were down by 6. So it's just one more point. No big deal, right? But the Lord told me, sit down and be quiet. Do you know that so many people that witnessed that thing come up to me talking to me about that thing, and I had an opportunity to witness to them about the love of God? I'm talking about God's love. Because me and myself, that's not who I have been, and that's not who I would be without his love. And so God wants to use these types of things to show his love. I don't know how many people it was. You were right, man. You know, in all this, and you're right. But you know what? I've got to show the love of God. And they hear that, and it just amazes them. You know what I mean? And so we want to show Christ. We want to lead people to Christ. So pray for me in that. I just want to give God praise and thanks and glory for helping me to get to that place. I want to maintain that position as well. Again, I thank you for your time, your attention. Thank you for your prayers. I'm sorry I went over time. Y'all continue to pray for me. I'll be praying for you.